This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Absolute pleasure. Willard and Dibs, y'all take it easy. Have a good one. Enjoy the game tonight.
On 95.7 The Game.
Look at these voices. That's Hunter Pence. We just had Will Clark on.
Man.
Javi Lopez about to rock this joint. Willie Adames is coming on Friday.
I love it. I mean, I'm here for it, and I'm excited.
I'm a Giants fan.
Exactly. I thought you would have played Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's funny because on the drive-in today, I was like, you know, Grandy's he's out to get me. So, you know, we're going to have Will Clark on and Adames and, you know, Javi. And through it all, Go Dodgers.
Well, you are 0 for 1. My God, you told Will Clark that he never played third base. When the hell have you ever seen a left-handed person ever play third base in the history of the world?
I also said he never DH'd, and he never played outfield.
Which I'm pretty sure he did DH when he went to the Texas Rangers.
Look it up.
He never had a day as DH. Ever? Ever? I'm asking you. Ever?
You're so quick to point out me pointing out that he never played third, and yet, Will, play some short. What's wrong with you? Can you pick it?
He was pretty nice to say it the way he did. Has a left-handed human ever played any of those positions in the history of ever, unless we're talking about five-year-olds when they're out there playing for the first time?
He DH'd 33 times in his career.
Which is not him playing the field.
Take a lap.
Exactly.
Take a lap.
I talked about him playing the field.
You just said to me that I was wrong in saying that I'm sure he's DH'd with Texas.
You were quick to point out that I mentioned that he never played third.
Right, because left-handers don't play third.
But he also never played the outfield, and that's the point.
But he's not an outfielder.
Well, who is?
Marco Luciano.
Right. Is Lamont Wade Jr. an outfielder?
He has been out there before.
Right, but is he an outfielder?
Not by trade.
And is Marco Luciano an outfielder?
But you're bringing
no, he's
up,
not.
You're bringing up non-comps of Will Clark. Will Clark was a phenomenal first baseman. He was an all-star level first baseman. And you didn't bring up necessarily the outfield. You brought up third base.
He won one gold glove.
He never caught either.
He was a good hitter.
Why didn't they have him catch?
They should have. I mean.
That was a weird. Just say it. It's funny. That was a weird thing to say.
Wasn't that weird?
It was.
Just because you're over there fanboying about, I can't wait to ask him about my imitation of his stance.
That's a fair retort. But just own it. Like, that's a weird thing to say to a left-handed human being. Why didn't you play third?
I'd like to hear the full question before I own it.
It's a weird thing to say. It just is. It's funny. It's very funny.
I love how you deflect.
I'm not deflecting. How am I deflecting?
You're deflecting off of your, Will, I used to imitate you the mirror.
I'm not deflecting at all.
Tell me about Neuschler.
Like, literally, YouTube.
I wanted to name my first kid Neuschler.
I didn't, but I do now, but anyway, anyway, there won't be another one. I mean, like, the text line in YouTube, you had a lot of comments in there. They're like, Will Clark, third base?
That's fine.
What are we doing?
I'll wear it.
That's all I'm saying. It was just funny. It's not a big deal.
You're making it a big deal.
No, I'm making it
big deal.
No, I'm just having fun with it because it was funny. It was a very out of... no pun intended, left field.
Yeah.
Comment. I've never heard someone
talk. I'd like to hear the question in full before
hear the question, Grandy? It might take a minute.
Give me a second.
Yeah. Grandy's doing, he's doing work. Any jerseys out there that Mila wants from the Giants?
Right. Right.
No, what do you mean right?
She's two.
I understand that.
They don't make jerseys for two-year-olds.
Not true. Oh, God, they totally make baby clothing.
Baby clothing.
And toddler clothing.
I don't know if they make baby jerseys.
For sure they do.
And she's, okay.
Yeah. Ella had one when she was three. I bought it for her.
Right.
A little black Giants jersey. Yeah.
With a number on the back and a name?
I think so. I don't remember who it was at this point.
Right.
She's turning 16 next week.
So that must have been 09?
She was born in 09.
Right. So
born in 09, yeah.
12. Might have been a Timmy.
Could have been
a Buster Posey.
Championship jersey.
Could have been. Yeah.
Mad bum.
Yeah, the answer is no. There's no jersey that she actually really wants. Her new thing is golf. We play golf on the street. And for her, what golf is she takes a golf ball and she throws it up our little mini hill and then...
Watches it roll back down?
Yes, and I have a hybrid, an old beat-up Titleist hybrid, and then I hit the golf ball up the hill again and she runs after it and it goes through her legs in Luciano-like fashion. So maybe she wants a Luciano jersey because she catches like he does.
That man caught a stray for no reason. No, but here's what I mean by that.
I mean, he's always catch. The only thing he can catch right now is a stray.
That's a four.
Grandy? Yeah.
Well, he's busy now. Driving. He's trying to find,
You don't have to look for
it
anymore.
Request.
I'm the idiot.
Let's hear it. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
It's like 45 seconds long, so buckle up. Here we go.
My question was not 45 seconds.
Well, you also have to get Will's answer to your question.
Okay, go ahead.
Here we go.
You were a first baseman, and I'm looking at your fielding log, and I think you only ever played first base. You didn't even do like a little stint at third or a little bit of DH, or you didn't pop out into right field. So you look at Bryce Eldridge as a first baseman, who is going to be the next big thing. For you as a legacy first baseman, maybe the second best in Giants history behind Willie Mack, how do you go about helping him without putting too much pressure on him?
You can
stop it. It's a bad question.
Being able to go around the infield, it's a little tough when you're a left-handed first baseman. So, that was a little tough.
You can play a little third? Come on, Will.
I didn't play no third. You gotta be kidding me.
It's a bad question. It should have been more about the outfield, and really the question was... the pressure of him following you and Willie McCovey at first base. That really was the upshot of what I was trying to ask.
It's fine. It's not even that. It's just funny. Like, I'm imagining Will Clark charging a bunt, and I'm like, he would strain an oblique if he tried to throw somebody out. It would be hilarious.
You could do it.
Not really. He'd have to hike the ball through his legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're allowed to. But anyway, it's just funny. You can laugh at yourself. It's okay.
No, I won't laugh at myself because when you have those moments, it's not funny. It's more about getting better.
No, there's nothing bad about it. It was just funny. Well,
you think Draymond ever laughs at himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, not in public. I do. Yeah, not on the court. I don't think he ever throws a pass away and goes, "Ha, that was so great." No. And I'm kind of cut from the same cloth. Okay. I'm going to work on it, and I'll make sure that doesn't happen again.
Okay.
Yeah, now that you pointed it out in front of everyone and the YouTube audience.
No one noticed till I said anything.
No, they did. They all did. They did, and you did, and you laughing in the moment. That just makes me want to sharpen myself a little bit more. That's good.
It was fun. Lighten up. It was fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was fun. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was. It was. Anyway, I think that the jersey situation to start the year is a little bit better. I do. There's a cool factor to some of the players that they didn't have before.
And I wonder who that is.
Ramos.
You know? Yep.
Adames. There's a cool factor there.
A little bit.
And in a different sort of a way, Jung-Hoo Lee.
Yep. Jung-Hoo Lee, last year I saw a bunch of jerseys.
A lot of jerseys.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then if you want to get, I don't know, I'm sort of painting with a broad brush here, but if you want to be more traditional about it in terms of the career achievement of a Webb or a Verlander or a Matt Chapman, it's better. It's better. I'm not saying it's like all the way there, but it's better.
Is Verlander wearing 35? Do we know?
He is.
He is. Okay.
Yeah. Brandon Crawford got all involved in the conversation and in the end kind of told him he wanted him to wear it.
Oh, wow.
And so he is. Yeah, he released a whole statement about it. Like, wow. Handled it like a champ. Why does that make you smile?
Well, like, he had to release a statement.
He didn't
like,
have to, but he did.
So I want him to wear 35?
I think that was to make sure that fans didn't sort of see Justin as, dude, you just walked in here and took 35.
I get that.
You released the statement so that the fans are like, Brandon's cool with it. Like, they don't want that question out there of like, I wonder what Brandon thinks about this.
Fair.
Right?
Fair. Yeah. It's good. I mean, it's good, but it kind of speaks to me about, I mean, Brandon Crawford, like, if you were, I don't know, Clay, no one's going to wear 11, and no one's going to wear Iguodala's number 9, and so if you're Crawford and you had this great career as a Giant, then I'd be more protective of my number.
Well, I don't know that the Giants will ever retire Brandon Crawford's number, but if they did, it comes kind of down the road, and because it's too soon, you know what I mean? It's like... Like, look at Iguodala. How many years did it take to get to this point where they're going to retire the jersey?
Yeah.
How long? I'm not asking. Like, I don't even remember.
Well, he played in 22, so it's only been 3.
He played in 22?
Didn't he also win 4 titles? Yeah.
He did? Was Iguodala still on that roster? He wasn't playing nearly as big of a role. He was? Yeah.
Yeah, he played the following year, too.
Okay.
Only eight games that following year.
But yeah. It's been 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Same thing with Brandon.
Yeah.
Although different, I don't know that.
It's different, yeah. Like, it's different.
Not a World Series MVP.
And the Giants don't really retire numbers like, the Warriors do.
They just did Will's last year.
Right. Last year.
Yeah.
So, and Will left the Giants in 93.
A long time ago. Yeah.
So you're talking about 31 years later, no more 22 for the Giants.
Javi Lopez is going to join us next. The Jimmy Butler comments, if you haven't heard them, are coming up around the bend. It is a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And we're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water, 888-957-9570. The number, this is Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Willard and Dibs.
I tell you what, this was one of the most perfect ways to end a sunny, glorious day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty, pretty cool.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Giants season preview continues. We've already had one former great who put the uniform on in Will Clark, and now joining us on the River Islands guest line is yet another involved in many a championship with the Giants, none other than Javi Lopez. Javi, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm not a whole lot right now in Georgia, just a nice little Canada Clipper coming through, keeping things cold down here. But beyond that, things are good.
Okay, okay, we'll take it. We actually had some water fall out of the sky this morning in the Bay Area, too. So, and you know us out here, that might as well have been a hurricane.
I always need that, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's take a look at these guys. What do you think is going to be, based on what you can see at least, the biggest difference between the last regime and this regime this year?
Well, I do think it's going to be a little bit returning to what Buster knew as a Giant, coming up as a Giant, drafted as a Giant, where it was just a lot of familiarity around, especially in spring training, with some bodies. Now, of course, the Hall of Famers aren't around like they were when he was in camp, but you're still going to get guys like Will Clark, JT Snow, even Barry Bonds, I'm sure, is going to get down there. And I think that was always a part of the things with San Francisco, that mystique of just being able to go to spring training and have Willie Mays sit in the clubhouse, and you can sit down and have a great conversation and see him and just be in awe of that guy's presence. And I think there's a little bit of that coming back to the Giants. Like, he just wants some people around that have been in the fight, that have gone through these things, and kind of understand what it is to play for that city, what it is to wear the orange and black. And I think that there's going to be pretty much a message of unity, and, you know, how we're going to get places together would be my idea of what kind of sell he had going with the team. So it's going to be something like that. Like, you know, it's not so much about how you spend it monetarily. It's how you spend it with the guys in the room. And I think that's what he's really going to harpen back to. And I'm excited to see what that looks like here with the game starting in a week or so.
And with that, how important is it to have an OG or an older player as the president of baseball ops there to help younger players?
I think it matters a lot, to be honest with you. Even spring training, when you're there, it's such a long time to kind of sit around. I mean, I know they get in and out when you get down to it. It's, you know, you start at 9-ish, and most of the guys are done about 12 or 1 o'clock. But during that time, there's a good amount of downtime, and it's nice to be able to have conversations with people that are not on the coaching staff all the time, that are not necessarily people that are going to be making decisions, personnel decisions. And it's nice to have that opportunity to go out there. And for me, it was great just because when I hit it, it was the right time with those Hall of Famers being around and with those guys that, you know, for me, Will Clark is a guy that I always watched growing up. I was a left-handed swinging first baseman, and I always kind of just appreciated his style and his game. And I think when you can have those conversations and have more people kind of maybe understand the positions that you're in, and when you want to feel vulnerable and ask a question, that you're asking a question of the person that's gone through that fight. Now, some people have been more successful than others, but I think that's why Buster also broke up the groups that are coming in. Not everyone that's coming in it wasn't linear, their career. They had a little bit of obstacles get through them, and they were able to do that. And I think all those things will pay off. I mean, I think they're all value adds, and I think Buster's done a nice job of lining that up.
Javi Lopez joining us here on the River Islands guest line on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Javi, here's something we've been tossing around with our listeners, and I wonder how you would answer it. How would you measure a successful season for the Giants this year?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think when you look at it on paper, you're looking at kind of the same roster you had last year. And so what does that look like, right? Last year you looked at it, that was fourth place in the NL West, and that's a very competitive division. And, you know, of course, if you want to say you can make a run at the Dodgers at the top, that'd be fantastic, right? But you can't predict that. A lot of things have to go right to make that happen. But I think for the Giants, there's still an opportunity. Even last year, they had an opportunity to get into the postseason towards the end of the second half. It kind of got away from them. But it's a division that can crank out three playoff teams easy if they all kind of go where they're projected to go. And I think with the Giants, they're looking up. There's an opportunity when you look at their one-run games and the way they played the games last year. There's a couple, like every team is going to want some back. But I think they got to stay away from those bigger losing streaks. And I think when that happens, when you have a stable starting five, and I think that is where Verlander's really going to pay off, and Webby has continued to kind of just grow and blossom as a leader. But, you know, a lot's going to fall on Robbie Ray. I mean, that's an interesting one for me. I love his ability. I love his strikeout rate. I love what he's been able to do. He's won a Cy Young. He's done it before. But that's a key factor for me, and to see what kind of bounce back year you can get from Harrison. I mean, a lot of young guys in the pitching staff, not only in the rotation, but in the bullpen. But as far as your pitching's concerned, it's pretty locked in, which is a nice way to go into camp, knowing that you go into a series and you've got an opportunity to run three guys that can win you a ball game. I mean, that's a nice feeling to have. And it's just maybe making that turn. I could see a mid to upper 80s wins. Now, where does that put you in your division? We don't know. But, you know, the Arizona Diamondbacks made great additions, and the Dodgers, of course, have done the same, and the Padres are still the Padres. They had the Dodgers on the brink last year. So you're definitely looking up, but I don't know what that really looks like. I would like to say that they're, you know, battling for maybe one of those top spots in the West, but definitely battling for a playoff position would be a great 2025 outcome.
And is that the blueprint, Javi, in terms of what the Giants have to do, which is pitching and defense? Is that the best way for them to counteract what else is going on in the NL West?
I think that's the only way you can kind of look at it, to be honest with you. That's why I do think I'm anxious to get down to camp. I will be down there at the beginning of March, but the emphasis during the offseason when Buster took control was pitching and defense, getting back to the fundamentals. And he was really preaching fundamentals, not only at a big league level, but the minor league level. So it does make me wonder what kind of work they're putting in defensively. How many extra ground balls are they taking in the infield? It's nice to know that you have a solid left side of the infield in Adames and Chapman there. Right side, you got Fitzgerald, who's one of the better athletes I've ever seen, being able to just play second base, and he's definitely capable of doing that. Lamont, from everything I'm hearing so far, healthy legs, and that's the most important thing for any athlete. But the outfield situation, you're going to go with a young guy as your fourth, most likely. They didn't bring any six-year free agent guys to make a run at the outfield positions, at least off the bench. So you're going to ask for Grant McRae to do something. You're going to check in on Luciano, see if he's going to be able to adapt to a corner spot in the outfield, give Ramos another look. So that's where I'm interested to see just how athletic they were able to become on the defensive side, because you're going to have to pitch and play defense. That's the recipe for that ballpark. But when you play in the West, you know, like we talked about, those teams may have had some significant upgrades, and you're going to have that pitching and defense keep you in a ball game. So hopefully you can come up with a timely hit and get a victory out of it.
Javi Lopez is with us here on Willard and Dibs and our Giants season preview. Javi, what's the right way for them to handle Bryce Eldridge this year?
Yeah, to see a kid at 19 years old be in his first big league camp is just amazing for me to just see that as a fan, let alone a guy that's put on the uniform. But to see a guy at 19 years old kind of fly through the system last year, get a taste of AAA, go down to the fall league, hit a little bit, and then finally shut it down. I don't even know I bet you it wasn't probably till past Christmas time that he was able to finally just sit back and understand what happened. But I do think probably, you know, if I was running this, let's probably get him some at-bats early in camp, kind of settle his nerves. And then you kind of want to see him just really hang out with the big league guys and kind of hopefully digging in and asking questions and getting into some BP groups with Lamont Wade Jr. or Yastrzemski if they're keeping the lefties together, or, you know, if you're working out with the infielders, and maybe get Chappie and Adames and just kind of listen in and really ask those questions as to what it takes to get to this level, because he's going to play at this level, and it could be as soon as this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if that is what happens. But I think when you have a young prospect like that, get the at-bats early for him and kind of just try to get him settled in. And if he lasts through the first couple rounds as they start sending guys down to minor league camp, great. But if not, I think you kind of slow play him as of right now just because he is 19 years old. That's a lot to put on his shoulders. But that being said, I've never met the man, so I'm actually excited to actually, you know, be able to have a conversation and see – because I hear nothing but great things about him, maturity level wise, and I think it's something that the Giants fans should be excited about.
Yeah, no doubt. And if you're Lamont and Wilmer and you see that he's coming, how much pressure does that put on you at first base, knowing that this guy is, you know, trying to come and take your spot?
Well, I'd like to think that iron sharpens iron, right? You want to,
yeah.
If you're one of the dudes that you want to be out there and get the reps, then you're going to go out there and do the job. And it's not going to make them work any harder. I think these are both two quality individuals. Great at bats. You know, Wilmer, besides last year, he just had nagging injuries and he couldn't bounce back. But the year before, he was probably the best offensive threat that the Giants had. And when you look at Lamont Wade Jr., he's an on-base machine. He's able to do that. And if he gets his legs back and he's got that, then he's going to bring power as well. And you know, and we know that he can hit the long ball. And I think the Giants are looking forward to that. But, I mean, these are all great bats. And I think I don't think they need any other motivation to get better and get the playing time. But, you know, if it takes a 19-year-old to push you, then so be it. But I think those guys are both great professionals when it comes to this game. And it's bats that, you know, like you mentioned, maybe they do lock it in a little bit more. But that's only to the Giants' benefit if that's the case.
Javi, I don't know who the starting right fielder is. I don't know if you know who the starting right fielder is. But if I asked you, who would you be most excited to learn is the starting right fielder once we get going a couple months into the season? And I gave you the names Yaz, McCray, Matos, Luciano. Who do you want to see go get that job?
I'd like to see, I mean, I think Yaz, the way he plays right field defensively just gives him a leg up. Plus, he's a veteran. I think that would be the obvious choice. He's got the slow heartbeat, both defensively and offensively. Who I really want to see as an intriguing piece is Ramos for me. Excuse me. Ramos hit. He's always had the bat-to-ball skills. I think it was just everyone preaches that is so important, and he shows flashes of it. He shows the flashes of it, but then the confidence level, you can kind of just see it on his shoulder. Like when things are going great, he's high-fiving. I mean, this guy was one of the best players for a month in the big leagues. I mean, he was able to do the things. I just want to see consistency out of him because if he's right, he can hit the ball into the gaps. He can run a little bit, and I think that is an intriguing piece. I mean, he had a great winter ball. He hit over 300. He hit double-digit homers, and that's a great springboard going into spring training that when you have that. In your back pocket just a couple months ago, you're dominating winter ball. I think that's so intriguing for me because he's still such a young talent. And I think as you're seeing the Giants shift to this younger wave, that this is one of the guys that they really are wanting to lean on looking in the future.
When you look at 162 games, and there's been some speculation about Patrick Bailey and his ability to be in shape and make it the whole season, what's that like for a pitcher or a player to try to make it through 6 months and 162? And what does Patrick Bailey need to do to be that guy who can actually play 130 or more games?
Yeah, I will speak on the reliever side. 162 is a bunch of games. Now, I know my workload differed as my career went on, and then towards the end with the Giants, for sure, I was more of a lefty specialist, so the workload was less in a sense of innings, but higher in a sense of the volume of games pitched. So you do have to understand the recovery process. You do have to understand the preparation process, and I think that's where you want to lean on some of these veteran guys to try to help you with that. I think when you look at Patrick Bailey, I don't know, to be honest with you, who he's been able to have in his circle to kind of teach him the way, you know, because Buster had went right into ownership and he kind of got out of it. And Patrick Bailey was with Joey Bart, and you had Stephen Vogt, you had some older catchers. The Giants have had those throughout the year, and you had Kirk Casale, and I think, you know, they can offer some great advice. Now, whether Patrick had those conversations, I don't know. But I think when you look at him and you look at the way he came into camp last year, he came in heavier because he knew he was going to burn off a lot of that weight. Catching every day, you're losing tons of water weight. But I think when you look at what he was able to do in the first half, you know that the talent's there. I mean, this guy was a fringy all-star pick for a little while. And then the second half really got away from him. So I think when you look at what he wants to do, it's continue to cultivate those conversations with the pitching staff, because he needs to be on the same page. Runs will be at a premium. Hopefully they're not. Hopefully they bang and, you know, they're winning by 10 runs. But just from covering the Giants and playing as a Giant, those games are very few and far between where you're just smashing and beating out these other teams. So it's going to come down to pitching. The defense has been there for him, right? He's a catch and throw guy, but he's able to make things off. Like, if he can get going offensively, that gives you a switch hitting threat towards probably the middle of your order, I'd say, maybe even down a few spots. And I think that's where it's going to come down to, is that he just needs to have consistency. And what that takes is really the repetitions, both in the training room and in the weight room, and all the things, you know, taking care of your body, eating the right things. And those are all, that's easy for me to say because I'm not a catcher, but, you know, watching Buster do it for so long, it's a grind. You have to have an outlet, but I feel that the kid is still a kid. I still call him a kid. I mean, I still think there's so much upside. It's just going to be Patrick Bailey having those conversations with some veterans. And Murphy's a veteran, and they brought in Max Stassi, and, you know, they have a couple others in there that you can have those conversations with, and I hope that those guys pour into him, because he's a key piece to these Giants.
Good on you, Javi. Here we go, man. Season's about to get going. I know we'll be talking to you a lot more, which we're looking forward to. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, anytime. I appreciate you having me, and enjoy the Bay. I'm excited.
We'll see you soon. All right, there he is.
Yep.
Javi Lopez right here, our Giants season preview. And just kind of circling back to what I said off of the top of the show, this is no fan's fault. It's not my fault, not your fault, nobody's fault. It's the Giants' fault. But, like, this is one place I'm sort of putting my focus this year, because I am so turned off by this idea. And you heard, we asked Javi there. I asked Will Clark if he thought that the Giants fans had a confidence problem. And he was kind of like, I mean, I don't know how to speak for the fans. But the bottom line is whether it's the Dodger thing or whether it's even just been the style of roster construction and play that the Giants have put out there, it kills me that so many people, like, if you're not into baseball or if you're predicting that they're not going to be good, that's all fine. But it kills me that so many people just look at it right now as a fait accompli. Like, there's no chance. This just is not, like, where is kind of that preseason competitive fight that I feel like any fan should have is really hard for us to access right now.
And I think that if you want to access it, it's a bit of a leap, because you look at the Vegas total and it's at 80.5. So Vegas is telling you that they're going to be just like last year, 80 and 82, 81 and 81. And if you look at the roster and you look at bright spots and other things that could be good, yeah, if you want to do like the best case, worst case scenario, and I do this every year with every team, and like, best case, Jung-Hoo comes back healthy and he is what we thought that he was. Your left side of the infield is great. Patrick Bailey is in shape. First base is serviceable until Eldridge gets here, and you have enough thump in the outfield and your pitching staff is as good as advertised. Yeah. 91 wins, 91 and 71. I think that's possible, but the worst case scenario is Bryce is not ready. First base continues to be a quagmire. You have a couple of pitching injuries. Pat Bailey plays like he did the last 2 months of the year, and I just looked at his numbers. His OPS.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
His OPS in August and September was 429. That's his OPS.
Right.
And he had one home run, and he was tired, and Mike Kruko said that he was out of shape and all the rest of it. So if you want to look at best case, worst case, 91, 75, like, where do they fall in between? Yeah. I think it's easier to think about them being like they were last year, which is, you know, in the mix, kind of.
Yuck.
I don't want that,
yuck.
Mark. I'm with you.
Yuck.
I'm a Giants fan.
I'm telling you, 500 teams will make you absolutely want to punch a TV. That's what they'll do.
Yeah.
And here's a comp to the Warriors. And Grandy brought this up before the show, and I think it's a fair thing. Like, we're looking right now, all of a sudden the Warriors are going to win it all. Why? So it was Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
Jimmy Butler's here. So, well, okay, they played four games. So do you actually have a rational take
as
to why?
No.
Right, okay, so same thing here. Are the Giants better this year? Well, yeah. Why? Because Buster's running it. Well, what the hell does that even mean? Like, Buster wears a suit now to work. That probably sometimes a hoodie.
Right.
But, like, that's Buster not getting any home runs this year. So he sort of asked that question of, like, if there's any newfound optimism, is it actually based on baseball moves that have been made, or is it the anybody but Farhan dynamic?
Yeah.
That is, at minimum, in play.
It's in play.
It's definitely in play for some
people. Well, I do think that emotionally it's a lift, and I want to quote my 81-year-old father-in-law who talked a lot about Farhan and, you know, the fact that, when they got rid of him, they cut off the head of the snake was his takeaway. And it's like, okay, so you cut off the head of the snake. Now what do we have? We got a bunch of snake skin and a slithering snake that needs a head.
I mean, you're like, we got rid of Farhan, and Flores and Wade are still platooning at first base.
Right. Right.
They're still there.
Yeah.
Yaz is still in right field.
And your lineup is still woefully, like, insufficient to what the Dodgers have. And I know that's on paper.
Yeah, and everybody is when compared to the Dodgers. I don't know if if Ramos plays like he did last year, if Jung-Hoo Lee, who I actually don't even think is going to lead off, he may actually bat third, we'll see. But, I mean, if he's a player that he sort of looked like he might be,
right.
There's a bunch of ifs. But the Giants might actually have a middle of the order.
No doubt.
For the first time in 3 years.
With Adames and Chapman.
Yes.
And,
correct.
I mean.
Correct.
Ramos. Or,
yeah, Ramos.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. And I do like Jung-Hoo Lee leading off, but, you know, we have a long way to go until opening day. But I do think that this is the time where you can be hopeful. And if we talk about a path for the Warriors, for me, the path with the Giants has to do with the starting pitching.
Well, it almost always does. Yeah.
Right. But
I agree with that.
Verlander can turn back time and then the other guys can actually pitch well and be healthy, Robbie Ray, and you heard Javi Lopez talk about that.
He's a big one.
If he can make 32 starts and be Robbie Ray,
then we got
action.
Yeah, then you're cooking.
Yes.
Yeah, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, if you did not hear what he said in Dubai, apparently this man really gets about the country, like around the world, in fact. If you did not hear what he said in Dubai, you're going to want to hear this. We'll get your reaction to it at 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, now I'm hot. Now I'm hot.
What happened?
I got another one. Javi Lopez. It's a great question. It's 2 days in a row.
Yeah, yeah. You were due.
Yep.
And it's good.
And now we're paying it off.
Yeah, and
I'm gonna see if I can get Steve Kerr to say it tomorrow.
The only questions I'm asking are stupid ones. And like tomorrow, hey Steve, did you ever play center in the CYO? Stupid Dibley. I need to raise my game. I'll admit it. I got my hand up to the scorer's table.
He deserved it.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No,
you don't. No, you don't.
That would be funny if you asked Steve Kerr if he's ever played center before.
Just play that again.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
So when I have my low moments, and yes, today with the Will Clark.
That was not a low moment.
When I have moments that maybe aren't at my best.
This is a mismatch.
What does my partner do?
Laugh.
Grandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you laugh.
That was a total misrepresentation.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Hey, Will, did you ever play third base?
This is a complete misrepresentation sensation. That was not a low moment for you. You literally, you led him down the road to water and he drank. You said it was complete, like, because people
one?
Don't know.
Will
Steve
or Steve?
Kerr. You're like, now, Steve, and you were all sarcastic.
Dude, Steve, I got your back.
You know that I got your back. You led him to that. It was very funny. I will not apologize for laughing on this show.
No one has been ever a bigger defender of Steve Kerr than yours truly. Okay.
That's a bunch of balls.
And we could talk about what just took place during the break as a great example of who's got Steve's back.
Well, I tell you. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You're welcome.
Exactly.
Steve, yeah. I got you, Steve.
Tune in tomorrow for the last question that Dan Dibley will ever ask in his radio career.
Yeah. Well,
might want to run that one by the editors, buddy.
If I win the lottery tonight or tomorrow, that's going to get asked.
The reason it came up, Steve, and we are doing, no, you don't. We're going to do our complete, and I don't want to call it mid-season because we're way past the midpoint.
Right,
but,
right.
We're just going to completely dive in to the stretch run of the Golden State Warriors all day tomorrow, and that's going to include Steve Kerr. It's going to include Bob Fitzgerald. Mm. It's going to include Chris Broussard, who we haven't gotten a chance to talk to in a while. So from the floor to the ceiling. We got that tomorrow.
To the window, to the
wall. To the wall, yeah. And one of the things that we've been talking about, I was already excited to dive in on this, but I really want to dive in as much as possible tonight before we talk to Steve tomorrow, is to check out portions, as much as I can, of this Court of Gold documentary that just landed this week on Netflix. And it is about the Team USA's gold medal victory in the Olympics. And there's a clip that's running around online right now, and I we have no issue sharing it with you right now, because I had told you about it earlier, but I didn't have the direct quote, and then it just came across our feed again. It is unbelievable. They've got the guys all mic'd up, so you get a mic'd up moment after Steph wins that gold medal, and he's coming off the court, and he and Steve Kerr embrace. There's a hug there, and it's as loud as can be, but they're mic'd up. So you get the mic'd up, what Steve Kerr whispers into Steph Curry's ear as that gold medal had been achieved. And he literally says to him, essentially, and I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit, but it's, oh my God, I am so bleeping lucky to be a part of your life. And then they almost kind of like, there's an exchange, and he's about to walk away, and he re-embraces again. Mm. And he goes, you're the finest human being I've ever met in my entire life. And I mean that. Steve Kerr says that to Steph Curry.
Yep.
In France.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, these two people and all the people Steve Kerr has encountered and met through the years. Like, that was what he said to Steph Curry.
And what's cool is before he brings it back in, Steph just says, thanks, coach. And it's a heartfelt, like, you know, thank you, coach. Like,
thanks.
Yeah, and in that moment, Steph had just not only saved the team and saved the gold, but saved Steve Kerr from a certain amount of criticism, because if you're the USA basketball team, you win gold, and when you don't win gold, it's an absolute outrage. And, you know, when you don't win gold, it's either because 1972, you get cheated by Russian refs, or it's 19... I guess it would have been 96 or 00 when we went back to not having the dream team, and then we had to bring out the redeem team.
Yep.
And then even since then, you know, the world has caught up to us, and you watch these Olympics and, you know, everyone wants to remember Steph and talk about, oh, if Steph can play like he did in the Olympics, then we're going to be fine. Well, Steph had two good games in the Olympics. If you watched all the Olympics, he wasn't very good until he got to the semis. And then in the finals, if you watch him against South Sudan, where the U.S. barely won a game that was like a 1 or 2 point game, he was bad. They all were bad.
Yep.
And I'm sure this will show up in the doc.
Yeah, no doubt. So we're going to dive into
that.
I'm still struck, though, and this is relevant to the conversation we're having now. And you Warrior fans, 888-957-9570, let's start talking this out. Because I was struck over the summer that even today, and I know this isn't a perfect comp because a lot of stars were playing for different countries, and this is just one little tournament, and it's not an 82-game schedule and all of that. But very, very struck that in the midst of everything going on at age 37 and at age 40, because I'm going to put LeBron in this too, yes, they're still the faces of the NBA, but guess what else they are? They are still, to this day, when on the court with all of the other greats of the game, they're the alphas. They're the dogs. when we got to the end of that game against France, Kevin Durant was open, and LeBron James was open, and Steph Curry was not. And they went to Steph. They went to Steph Curry up against a double team when two of the best 15 players who have ever lived were standing open on the other side of the court. And what did Steph do? He decided to break those two defenders down and have a falling away well behind the three-point line shot that went in so he could do the longest night-night that he's ever done before. That's relevant to the Golden State Warriors now, I think. Because if we're really going to do this, if we're all going to dream together, Jimmy Butler's here, and now the Warriors are supposedly contenders again. Well, if that's true, then you better also believe that Steph Curry is still one of the very best players in the game. And it's easy to say, well, of course he is, Mark. No. I mean right now. Right now. Like, do you believe that Steph Curry, this moment, is a top three player in the NBA?
Well, I mean, top three, no.
No?
No.
Who would you pick, by the way?
I would take Jokic.
Jokic
I would
is going to be the first name that
Giannis.
Comes up.
Giannis. I would take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Interesting.
And, like, even if you want to just forget the top whatever, can Steph be a player who can take over a game? Yes, he can.
Yes.
And LeBron can, and KD can, and Shai can, and Edwards can, and, I mean, even Ja can. Like, all these players, if you want to look at,
sure.
Can X player take over a game? Can Jason Tatum take over a game? Of course he can. And if he doesn't, well, they got Jaylen, and they've got, you know, Porzingis, and they've got Holiday, and they've got other guys who can help in case that player can't take over a game. My only issue, my only question is, can Steph do it often enough in a series to where they can actually get that done? And that's where the Jimmy Butler signing makes it a little bit easier, because if Steph has a game where he's not going to take it over, and if you look at his game log this year, it's a thing where he has a great game, and maybe another great game, and then another game that's okay, and another game that's maybe not great. He's not doing it as often as he used to do it, and that's fine. He's almost 37. He'll be 37 in a matter of a couple of weeks. And so, can he still do it? Yes, but he can't do it night in and night out anymore.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think sometimes we do fall into the trap of, when I say, you know, best player in the league, we're going to immediately go, at least to some degree, to stats. And like Giannis, for example, you brought up his name, and I bet a lot of people would if I said, okay, give me the top three players in the NBA, and Giannis's name is going to come up. But how are we doing with Giannis in the playoffs recently? How are we doing? How's it going?
Yeah, not great.
Not good. Not good. And how's his health going? How's his team doing? They're very mediocre.
Yeah, it's the regular season.
It is, but they're very unimpressive now for an extended period of time. And I'm not here to bleep on Giannis. That's not what I'm doing right now. My point is that I don't think who's the best or who's having the most impact always lies in stats and shooting percentages and things like that. I think of it more about, like, what does a defense do when that person crosses half court? And I can tell you this from watching a lot of NBA. There's a number of players this year who really, of course, gather that focus of a defense. But there's nobody. I mean, I guess maybe Jokic. But nobody is more the center focus of the defense than Steph Curry is. And I know part of that is because they have not really given another option to the defense. I understand that. But my point is I do think that Steph is higher up on this list than we think, because he is still dominating the brains of opposing defenses at the highest of levels.
And I do think a lot of that, though, is because they haven't had anybody else to help him out offensively. So if you're a defense and you're facing a Jimmy Butler-less Golden State Warriors and Kuminga's not playing, then you're thinking, okay, all right, Wiggins, we dare you to go out there and shoot the ball 27 times and score 40. You won't. And then Kevon, GP2, TJD, Draymond. I mean, we could name all the names, and I'm not trying to shade these people, but without Jimmy Butler, the Warriors are easy to guard when you don't have another option. And sure. So if you're guarding the Warriors and you've got Steph and no Jimmy Butler, it's like, okay, we're going to double him all day and we're going to make all the rest of these guys beat us, and they most likely won't unless somebody goes on a full-on heater, especially without Kuminga.
But even with Jimmy on the court, and Jimmy has talked about this already, even with him on the court, I still think if you rank this based on how obsessed is the defense with that one guy, I do think Steph is still top three. I absolutely do. I think it's Steph, I think it's Jokic, and I think it's probably LeBron. You know, like I look at a guy like Jason Tatum, his stats are way better than Steph Curry's in terms of scoring and all that stuff. But if I'm battling Boston, the problem I have is the way that they surround the court with unbelievable three-point shooters.
They've got everybody.
And the ball just flies around, and somebody's going to get a really good look. And that person's going to have a really good shot at knocking it down. You know what I mean? Like someone like Derek White, like, is just a thorn in people's side.
And Porzingis, so, and you got Jaylen Brown, and you've got Holiday, and you've got a whole cadre of other people. So this, for me, becomes a little bit like the quarterback discussion. Like, is Brock Purdy a top five quarterback? Well, when he's got a lot of talent around him, yes. And when he doesn't, he's not. And so Steph Curry by himself, is he still a top three player in the association individually? Well, yeah, but if you're going against Steph Curry and you don't have any other help, then he becomes much more guardable. And I'm just looking at his four games since they've had Jimmy Butler. They're 3-1, and he is a positive in the plus minus. His shots are down. His percentages are up. His efficiency is up.
Sure.
Because now he doesn't have to do all the heavy lifting anymore.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KG. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.